4CRB 89.3 FM. Nice and easy on the Gold Coast.
Good morning. This is The Law and You with Margaret Miller, replacing John Fradgley this morning, who's off celebrating his birthday. The number is 5520-8888. We have a call from Eddie, who's disappeared. Just one moment. Good morning, Eddie. What can I do to help you?
As a grandparent, I'd like you to give me some information to what grandparents' rights are regarding grandchildren.
And tell me in particular what your problem is, Eddie.
My son and his wife are bastards at the moment. They're separated amicably as a sort of a trial period. Now, she is living in a house that's worth over $1 million to start off, and he has rented a house walking distance away from the house that he can see the kids every day and at the weekend. But the thing is this time that day I'm being denied seeing him on Skype, and I would like to know what flaws is that regarding grandparents?
Well, Eddie, what the law is that children have a right to have a good relationship with their parents and other people who are important to them, and that includes grandparents. Generally speaking, have you asked if you can spend some time with the children or you can talk to them on Skype?
Well, as I say, up until recently, I've been speaking to them on Skype, but they live in Melbourne.
Yes.
And I live in New South Wales. And the thing is, this then Skype is the only connection I have with them. But as I said, this has been, she's a bit devious, and this is what's happening, and I'm no longer seeing the children.
Well, Eddie, have you contacted her and said, I'd like to Skype the children, is there a problem? What time is suitable?
The thing is this then, that the situation's very fragile. My son tells me not to say too much. He wants her back and all the rest of it, and he doesn't want me to
stir the pot.
So the thing is this, then, I want to know what's my position. Is that I know that there is some sort of law that the grandparents have right and looking as regarding their grandchildren.
Well, Eddie, the children have all the rights, and obviously your grandchildren have a right to know you and to have a relationship with you. Could I make a suggestion to you? If your son is telling you not to create problems, is it possible that you can Skype them while they're with your son? Is that an issue with him?
He's on a rented property. His computer is still in the house.
Right. Well, is it possible perhaps for someone to buy an iPad, because you can Skype on an iPad and then you could have the Skype connection with your grandchildren? Now, if both your son and his wife won't let you communicate with the grandchildren, the procedure that you would have to follow is you would have to notify them that you are not happy with the situation and ask them whether they can reach an arrangement that you have contact with the grandchildren. Now, if they say no or if they don't respond, then there is an obligation to have a mediation. You would contact Relationships Australia, who will organise a mediation between the parties and see if they can come to some agreement. Now, if you can't...
Where are these people based?
Relationships Australia is all over the place. It's a government service, and for family law matters, you get a free mediation service to stop you from going to court as your first step. I'll just see if I've got a number for them here. No, Eddie, I don't have a number, but if you leave a number with the switchboard, I will contact you back and give you the number. But you make an appointment.
You say this is a government department.
It's a mediation service that's paid for by the government. Here we go. Relationships Australia, 1-300-364-277.
277.
And they have counsellors who will organise a mediation and try and resolve the problem without everyone descending into legal fights. Now, if unfortunately you can't resolve it that way, then they will give you a certificate which you can use to start court proceedings. But obviously the best way to try and do it is to try and negotiate it, because things are very difficult for parents when they separate. But what you've got to point out to them too, that it's very difficult for grandchildren. And as much as they're dealing with their own problems, they need to consider that grandchildren need to maintain the family relationships to, you know, to keep them a little bit steady, because it's a terrible situation when your family breaks up.
Yeah.
Eddie, you know, I wish you all the best. And obviously there are community legal services that you can consult if you're not sure of the steps or if you need some more advice.
I see.
Or you can call us back here. Eddie, I wish you all the best. It's not a very happy situation, but with a bit of negotiation and common sense, it will work out.
Thank you.
We now have Tom. Tom, what can I do to help you? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, Tom, what can I do to help you?
Just like to clarify something, love. What's the person's right when you don't want papers delivered to your house, like the Gold Coast son, and you ring them and you tell them you don't want them, and I'll stop for a month or a week or whatever, and then keep delivering them there, throwing them on your front lawn?
Tom, I've had that same problem myself, and unfortunately it's one of those things where you can complain and complain, but someone's going to fall off the wagon and leave it on your driveway. The best thing to do, in my view, is to accept the paper, wet it down, stick it on your garden. It makes wonderful mulch. Don't read it.
I've got all rocks here, love. But sure, I rang the Gold Coast Council.
Yes.
And I would have thought that's littering. If I go out and throw something on someone's lawn, it's littering. I reckon it's not in their jurisdiction, which to me is just ridiculous.
No, it's...
I mean, you can walk up and down the street and there's papers everywhere, in the gutter, in the thing. Why should I be allowed to do it?
Well, a lot of people are happy to get the papers, and sometimes there are people who aren't. All I can say to you is keep contacting the Gold Coast Sun, keep telling them that you don't want them, and the other alternative is when they deliver them, collect them together and post them back to the Gold Coast Sun.
Oh, that's a hassle though, isn't it?
It is indeed.
Should be another way. Can I sue them? Can I do anything like that?
Look, not really, because there are no damages that you're suffering apart from the annoyance and the inconvenience. And it's probably just as simple for you to pick it up and throw it in the bin if you're not going to use it for anything else.
Okay, so I've got to pick up their rubbish. If I go up the street and throw rubbish on the ground, I get a fine.
Well, Tom, that's one of the unfortunate...
That doesn't sound fair, does it?
No, it isn't fair at all. But you can, if you like, put a notice at the front of your place, no junk mail and no free newspapers, and see if that works.
I've done that.
Well,
it doesn't work. They still
obviously
do it.
It doesn't.
They stop.
Yes.
No.
Well, Tom, it's
okay,
one of the horrors of daily life that you've got to live with.
Okay.
Best of luck. Thank you. Now, Mary, can I help you with your problem?
Yes, please. My name is Mary.
Yes, what can I do to help you?
Okay. My son and I got a property together. I am from Melbourne, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a property together where I live myself. He lives in his own house with his family. Now that I'm here in Gold Coast holidaying, I think I will sell that house and come to Gold Coast. But then I count all sorts of capital gain issues. And my son says to me, Mum, I'll give the house as a gift to you because I've never paid for it. I've never contributed. So whether I have got it or not, can my son gift me the house?
He can.
How can I go?
The house you're talking to is the one you own with your son. Is that in Melbourne or here?
In Melbourne.
In Melbourne. And you live in it?
Yes.
So there should be no capital gains tax issue for you if you live in the house. There
but
may be
for him.
There may be a capital gains tax issue for your son if you sell the house. But that would happen regardless of whether he transferred it to you or if you sold it. He would still have that problem.
No, what I'm trying to tell you is the house belongs to both of us. I live there, and I now want to shift to Gold Coast. To be able to do that, I have to sell the house in Melbourne. Because automatically half is his.
Yes.
By the time he pays his capital gain, because he's a very high taxpayer, he's about 45%, there'll be nothing left for me to come. So he says, Mom, he offered me two options. He says, what if I give you the house and say, look, like a mother gives a property to the husband or to the son, maybe the son can give a property back to the mother.
Well, as I said to you, Mary, whether he gives you the house or whether you sell the house, he is still going to have that capital gains tax issue. It may not be as much as you think. And as well as that, if he transfers his share of the house to you, there will have to be stamp duty paid on the value of the property transferred to you. What I suggest you do is have a talk to an accountant and see what the capital gains tax liability would be, because it may not be as much as you think. It's averaged over a 5-year period of income, and it generally isn't an enormous amount. So, you know, that's the first step I would do. Find out exactly how much the capital gains tax amount is, and then take it from there.
We bought that house for $55,000 14 years ago, and we developed it and made it and made it, and now it's
$400,000. Mm-hmm. But bear in mind, he only has half of the house, so the capital gains tax on the half may not be that much.
He also offered me the option to say, Mom, how about you buy the house from me the same amount that you paid to buy it?
And then you'd have to pay him stamp duty. You'd have to pay stamp duty to the government. See, what you've got to remember, Mary, is you've bought the house. If you've spent $400,000 doing it up, that can be set off against the capital gains tax. So that will reduce.
How do I prove that?
Well, you'd have the receipts of what you've done to the house, wouldn't you?
No, I'm afraid.
Well,
so 14 years ago, my husband is a tradesperson.
Well,
he bought things and done it. And we got, of course, the permission to go for a second floor. We have got the permission, but not the paperwork.
Well, Mary, the other thing that you could do is you could get a quantity surveyor out. There are many of those around. And he can estimate what was spent by looking. You tell him what you did, and he can estimate what was spent. But the solution is, if you do want to move to the Gold Coast, then the best solution is to sell the house. And your son will obviously have to look at the capital gains tax difficulty that he's got. So, and as I said, find out what it is, because it may not be as much as you both think.
Okay, so if I get a quantity surveyor to put
to
an
quote
estimate
what
on Harvard on top of that, and then we'll go. There was another option of going from joint tenants to tenants in common.
Are you joint tenants at the moment, are you?
Yeah, we are joint tenants, yeah.
Right, now that means that if either of you die, then the other one automatically gets the property.
That was behind my mind. So if I die, he doesn't have to do anything.
Sure.
He automatically gets the house.
Sure, but that's not going to change any of the issues. Your issue is you want to move to the Gold Coast, and probably the only solution is to sell the house. I would suggest that you find out what the capital gains tax liability is, and then take it from there. Now, we might just
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
You.
We might just take a break for a while. The number here is 5520-8888, and I look forward to your calls. We'll just take a break and be back shortly.
If you love a live orchestra, then you mustn't miss our sponsor, Northern Rivers Symphony Orchestra, proudly presenting an afternoon at the Proms on Sunday the 16th of November at the Tweed Civic Centre at 2:30 New South Wales time. Join conductor Barry Gott and soprano soloist Louise Kennedy with a programme featuring Greensleeves, The Waltz from Swan Lake and many others. Tickets are available at Mwillimbah Music, the Tweed Civic Centre box office, Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m, cash only, or online at nrso.com.
Good morning, this is the Law and You with Margaret Miller, filling in for John Fradgley, who's having a birthday celebration. Good morning, Dale, what can I do to help you?
Hi, basically just ring up to the question earlier that was with Tom.
Yes.
Is this on air or not?
It is on air. What's your question, Dale?
Dale, actually.
Yeah, sorry,
basically,
Dale.
it's quite all right. Basically, just the question that Tom had before, how he's receiving the Gold Coast paper and he doesn't want it.
Yes.
Basically, as far as I'm concerned, yeah, just be grateful that you're getting it. If you don't want it, just throw it in the bin.
My query is that
we actually are not receiving it. And, we've run Gold Coast done numerous times, and that's to basically get it. Because we'd just like to read it, just to see what's in there, local tradies, sort of anything, basically.
Well, maybe Tom can give you his. Maybe we can make an arrangement so Tom can drop his round.
If he doesn't want his table, we'll definitely take it.
The other alternative, Dale, is they do have piles of them at most shopping centres, so you can pop down to your local shopping centre and you'll probably see some Gold Coast Suns down there.
Yeah, we sometimes just go and speak to one of the neighbours in that up around one of the streets, and we sometimes take beers. But it would be nice if some of the distributors would actually, in the local area, would actually pretty much do their job properly instead of just dumping them into the local paper recyclers.
Where do you live, Dale?
I'm in Narang on the Gold Coast.
Narang. Well, you're very close to where the Gold Coast Sun has its headquarters. Because they're at Mullingarna.
Yeah, we've spoken to them quite numerous times about it. And we take all our paper rubbish directly down to the local paper recyclers. And on numerous occasions, I've actually seen the bin has got a dozen or so papers in there of the actual Sun still wrapped up in the plastic.
Yes.
The distributors have just dumped. They haven't even delivered it.
Well,
in some of the local streets and stuff around my area, out of my entire street, there might be free papers in the entire street.
Well,
or none at all, some places might have 10 of them piled up in front of their places.
Well, all I can suggest, I can suggest is you keep on ringing the Gold Coast Sun and telling them how badly you want it, and maybe one day you'll have a regular delivery. It just goes to show you can't please everyone. Some people don't want it and some people are desperate to have it. Thank you so much, Dale.
The fact is they're getting paid, but they're not they're not doing their job, basically. But anyway.
Thank you, Dale. I wish you all the best.
If Tom doesn't want it, you can always throw it in the bin.
Perhaps if he's listening, he might ring up and try and make some arrangements about that. Thanks, Dale.
No worries.
Myrna, what can I do to help you?
Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning,
Myrna, in relation to the lady before, Mary, who spoke of having a property in Melbourne with her son, I briefly thought I caught that they'd had this for some 40 years. Now, capital gains tax did not come in
until 1985. That's right. That slipped my mind entirely. Thank you so much.
They might have an out.
So they may not have capital gains tax payable. Mary, if you're still listening, the capital gains tax came in September 1985. So if the property was bought before then it's not subject to capital gains tax. Myrna, I thank you very much for reminding me of that.
That's fine. It's a very good program. Thank you
so much. Now, I might be able to help Kay. Kay, what can I do to help you?
Oh, good morning. I'm just interested to know... what right has a father got to a baby when he doesn't pay any maintenance to the mum or anything for her?
Kay, it's what I was saying before. Parents don't have rights. The child has rights. And the child has a right to have a relationship with both parents. It's whether or not the parent pays child support is a different matter. A father is still a father. There is a child support agency. If mum is concerned that she's not receiving any support for the child, she can apply to the child support agency and they will assess dad for child support and they will chase him for it if he's not paying it. Apart from that, the child deserves to spend time with dad because I'm sure... both dad and mum love the child, otherwise he wouldn't want to be spending time with the child at all. So it is annoying, it is frustrating, it is you know, it makes you very angry that parents don't support their children when they need financial support. But it's a totally separate issue, and this is why the Child Support Agency is separate to family court matters, because the courts are very firm that they don't want parents saying, you don't pay me enough money for the child, so you can't see it. And that's bad for the child, and it's bad for the parents. You do need to have children having a good relationship with parents. My advice to you would be to ask your daughter to go to the Child Support Agency and get them to collect some child support from Dad.
Yes, he seems to pay it, and then he decides he's not going to pay anything, but he still wants...
Well, in that case...
It's annoying.
In that case, Kay, you have the Child Support Agency collect the payments. They will collect them from Dad. They can garnish you his wages and take them directly from his wages before he gets them, and then they pass them on to the mum. And,
all right.
And that's the best way, because if he is late or if he misses payments, then he has to pay interest as well.
Right.
All right. Okay. I wish you luck with that one. That is a common problem.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. You're welcome. Good morning, John. What can I do to help you?
Yes, good morning, Margaret.
Yes, John.
Margaret, I'm just listening to what you were saying before in relation to parental rights, and to the greater part, you are correct. However... may I point you to the Constitution, Section 51.22,
mm-hmm.
which gives parental rights. Therefore, I'm suggesting the parental rights are enshrined in the Constitution, something that is not often argued before the family court. Maybe it should be.
Well, absolutely not, but you've got to bear in mind that there are family law acts which prescribe how the court will deal with parenting issues. And I understand where you're coming from with the Constitution, because that issue arose in relocation cases where parents needed to, or wanted to move, and there was an argument that their right to move was being restricted unnecessarily or unfairly. And this is where the Commonwealth became involved in relocation cases, so that decisions were made in the court that the court needs to consider still what's best for the child, but they can't just stop someone from relocating for no good reason. I understand where you're coming from. Generally speaking, the constitutional issues don't really get an airing in the family court. I think you appreciate that. But where it is necessary to do so, the court has made decisions about it. And, you know, I thank you, John, for pointing that out to us, because relocation is an interesting aspect of family law.
Yes, I was quite interested in essence, because whilst the Constitution provides and enshrines parental rights, it doesn't provide for children's rights. So I'm just wondering whether the balance is or the tilt is.
Well, the children's rights are set out in the Family Law Act. And the children's rights are the paramount consideration of any decision made by the family courts. So children's rights are strongly protected as well.
Thank you, Margaret.
You're welcome. Thank you, John. We might take a short break now and return shortly.
Now an established new business on Tedder Avenue, the Barbers on Tedder can give you that million-dollar haircut that stands out. With over 30 years of experience, haircuts in traditional, executive and modern come naturally to the Barbers on Tedder. Great location, just 5 minutes walk from the light rail, and a haircut that makes a statement. Our sponsor, Barbers on Tedder, 24 Tedder Avenue, Main Beach.
Good morning, this is The Law and You with Margaret Miller replacing John Fradgley, who's obviously having a wonderful time celebrating his birthday. Our number is 5520-8888, and with Christmas coming up, I just wanted to give you a quick reminder that when you're doing your Christmas shopping, you need to be aware of your consumer rights. If the goods that you buy are faulty, or they don't match the description that the shop has told you that they are, or they don't do the job they're supposed to do, you're entitled to a repair, a replacement, or a refund at your option. If you go to a store and they have signs up that say no refunds, those signs are illegal. If there's something wrong with an item, then you're entitled to choose what you want to do about it. There are some stores, like the major department stores, that that will let you return things if you change your mind. But generally speaking, if you change your mind, it's yours. So you can't take it back just because you get it home and decide you don't like it. Now, if there is a problem with anything that you've bought, if it's a minor problem, you should contact where you bought the product from, and they can either give you a repair or replacement or a refund. If there's a major problem, then clearly you can say, I want my money back, and you can go and buy something somewhere else. What a lot of people don't realise too is that at Christmas time, all the companies who are selling you hampers come out of the woodwork. You need to watch out for salespeople who pressure you, and just check carefully what's in the hamper and what you're paying, because sometimes if you do a bit of careful shopping, you can get a lot more for your money than through the hamper. As well as that, you need to look at the conditions of buying the hamper, because you'll find that if you're paying it off over a period of time, they'll have conditions like if you miss a payment, there might be a penalty. If you've got a direct debit from your bank account, your bank might even deduct money out of your account if the payment is dishonoured, and it might end up costing you a lot more for your hamper than it would if you just went down to Aldi or Woolworths or Coles and got a list of shopping that will suit you. Bear in mind too, a lot of items in hampers are things that you may not use. You've got to make sure that your hamper arrives on time. Now, if you need to complain about a hamper purchase, then the best place is to contact the Fair Trading or your consumer group or the ACCC, who will be able to answer your questions. Christmas is a really difficult time where you're going to be racing around madly spending lots of money, so you need to be aware of your rights, and don't let store owners or hamper salespeople talk you out of exercising your legal rights. Thank you very much for your time this morning. John Fradgley will be back with you next week, 1 year older, 1 year wiser. And I thank you for the callers who've come in with some very interesting questions today.